Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. Well, I have a question for you as we begin this beautiful Wednesday morning. How disciplined are you? My junior high and high school principal, Mr. Lewis Brown, ended up being a lifelong friend. He passed away just a couple of years ago, but he told me one day, he said, Jeff, and this is kind of his colloquial way of saying this. He could speak, obviously, good English if he wanted to, but he said, Jeff, if you ain't got discipline, you ain't got nothing. Discipline is so critical. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Now, with me in the studio today is one of the most disciplined persons I have ever met, and that is my wife, Debbie. If you look up discipline in the dictionary, I think you'll find her picture. I love that about her. I am not naturally disciplined. She is naturally disciplined, and she puts discipline into practice every day of her life. So, Debbie, how do you view discipline in life in general and in the Christian life specifically?
Well, it's interesting because that is something I don't have to necessarily struggle with. It's just part of my God-given temperament that I am a pretty disciplined person. Now, I have worked on that. I've honed that. I have continued to seek out to be that way. But I think for me, I don't have necessarily as much to overcome in that area just because of my God-given temperament. But it is so critically important to be disciplined, and that transfers over into every area of life. There was a quote, if I can find it, my phone just went away, but it says, motivation gets you going, but discipline keeps you growing. And that is so true, because mm-hmm. you can have the best plans, you know, it's like the quote, the best laid plans of mice and men, right? I mean, you can have wonderful plans, but if you don't have the discipline to back those plans up, in all likelihood, they are not going to come to fruition. They are not just going to morph into existence. And so discipline is important across the board. It's important in your personal life. It's important in your work life. It's important in your exercise life, in your mm-hmm. diet life. It's important in your relationship. It's important at work. It's important in your relationship with the Lord, in your quiet time, in disciplining yourself in that area. It's just an area that, regardless of how disciplined you may be based on how God wired you, there is always room for improvement in that area.
Right. Well, we don't want to be slaves to this thing called discipline, but we need to say, hey, I have to discipline my life in order to be the person God wants me to be. Things don't just happen on their own. So if you're going to have a good marriage, you have to discipline yourself in the things that make for a good marriage. I remember preaching years ago a sermon I entitled it, Good Marriages Just Don't Happen. I think people kind of approach life that way. Well, it'll just kind of happen.
Right.
Well, it doesn't unless you really focus your attention on, okay, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. So, Debbie, let's talk about to-do lists. Some people love to-do lists. You're a to-do list maker.
I am such a to-do list. And this is going to be, I'm very vulnerable here, okay? I'm just really, you know, showing it all. But I am so much of a to-do list person that if I do items that are not on my to-do list, I will go back in and write them in and scratch them out, because I love to see at the end of the day all of my items on that to-do list crossed out. That is just like, yay me. I mean, I just love that. And a to-do list to me keeps me focused. It keeps me structured. It keeps me organized. It keeps me on task. It's just a real good way for me to get accomplished the things that I need to get accomplished. And I have always been a proponent of you do your work, then you have your fun. And so for me, I can't really just sit down, relax, read a book, watch a movie, idly chat on the phone or whatever. I can't really do any of those things with any form of enjoyment while I still have this to-do list of things that I know I need to get accomplished. Mm-hmm. And so I love being able to see those things being crossed out. And then for me, it's kind of like, you go, girl. Good job. Okay, now you can relax.
Right.
You know, and our kids, as you well know, have always made fun of me about this, you know.
Right.
Because I would say to them all the time, let's just do this so we can get it done.
Right.
You know, and they were like, mom, you know, but it's our middle daughter in particular will still to this day tease me about that. Okay, yeah, we're going to do this, mom, so we can get it done, you know, but that's just kind of how my brain is wired.
Well, many people have heard the illustration about the professor that brings in the jar and has big rocks and then gravel and, you know, little pebbles and, you know, can you get all this in here? Well, how do you, if you fill the jar first with the water, he had water too, first with the little rocks and then the water, how do you get the big rocks in? And the answer is you can't, they don't fit. But if you put the big rocks in first and then you put in the pea gravel and then you put in the water, everything will fit. And so, Debbie, you've always been good at seeing what are the big rocks? What are the things that are the biggest things we need to tackle? Because I think a lot of people look at, well, I can do this little thing or that little thing. I can, you know, if I have to clean out the garage, that's a major, major thing. But maybe I could shine my shoes. That's a minor thing. But we can fill all the minor things that are easy to do, and then we put off that major thing. You don't look at it that way, do you?
No, I don't. And like you said, I do have the ability to kind of look at a situation and assess it in terms of what needs to be done first. I don't get lost where I can't see the forest because of the trees. And I can remember early on, I forget what it was that we were doing. Maybe we were cleaning out stuff to pack from our apartment to move into our first home. I don't remember. But your task at that time was, okay, Jeff, you need to pack your nightstand. You need to get all this stuff, you know, in a box or whatever. And I came in there like 45 minutes later, and you're just looking at every picture and you're rereading all these cards that you've saved. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I'd already packed like 5 or 6 boxes while you're still just struggling with the one. And so I think, you know, I think you would be, in your vulnerability, would be willing to admit that you have a tendency to get overwhelmed with different tasks. And so as a result, you can just be paralyzed. There's so many things to do, and you're not quite sure how to prioritize getting them done. Therefore, you just think, you know, I think I'm just going to lay down for a minute. You know, I'm just going to rest, because just the thought of having to even figure out the priorities makes you tired.
Right.
And so I think so often that's what happens to people. They see all these this plethora of chores, tasks in front of them. And because they are not able to just instantly see the priority of it, they just get paralyzed with all these things that they have to do. And that prohibits you from accomplishing what you need to accomplish. And so I think we can, in those situations, we can just say, Lord, I'm so overwhelmed in this situation. I have no idea what my next step needs to be. Please show me that. Please prioritize things for me. Bring to my mind those things that I have, that I really need to focus on to get done first. And for me, I try to accomplish those at the early part of the day when I have my highest level of energy. Because as the day progresses and I start to get tired, it's harder to tackle a mountain when you're tired.
Right.
You know, when you wake up, you're full of energy. It's like, yes, I can do this. And so that to me is a big help to me if I try and conquer those early.
Okay, so lots of our listeners struggle, myself included, we struggle with this thing called procrastination.
Yes.
I just put this off. You know, the Bible says this in the book of Proverbs. Debbie calls Proverbs the early Twitter for Hebrews because it's just little nuggets of things.
Now, let me just be honest. I did not come up with that. I read that somewhere.
Oh,
okay,
well,
so that's not my brainchild, but it's very true.
It's pretty good.
Pretty
good. And if you, as a listener, like Twitter, I'd love for you to follow me on Twitter at Jeff Shreve, JeffShreve. And I sometimes have some neat things to say, share scripture or share something cool that I read came across. But this is what it says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. I passed by the field of the sluggard. That's the slug, the lazy person. And by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. He sees this grown over vineyard, and the walls broken down. Everything's just weeds. He said, when I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. All right, here is what he learned from that. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. Solomon learned, or the writer of Proverbs 24, that, hey, that broken down vineyard, that weed infested vineyard, it didn't get like that overnight. It got like that little by little by little. A little procrastination here, a little procrastination there. You know, many of us, when we wake up in the morning, we set our alarm, and what's the first thing we do? We hit the snooze bar.
Oh, gosh. I hate the snooze button so much.
You do. But we hit the snooze bar. We hit it maybe once, twice, three times, four times. I'm going to go to the gym. I'll hit the snooze bar. I don't feel like it. I'm going to take a shower before work. I missed that one, too. And you know, all these things, the little things end up being big things. Little procrastinations can really bite you, because those can turn into big things that now you don't have time to do.
Well, and I think that verse alludes to the fact that when you conquer things little, it's so much easier than when you wait until they're big. So when you're weeding a garden, if you go out there every morning and weed, it may take you 10 minutes, depending on the size of your garden.
It's manageable.
Yeah, it's very manageable. It's doable. It's not overwhelming. It doesn't just make you feel defeated or anything like that. You're able to get it accomplished. But the longer you wait and the more that there is, the more overwhelming that task has become. And it's not because you're being punished. It's because that's just the nature of how things work, right? And so it's just so much better to do things in a manageable way.
So research papers in school.
Oh.
Every kid hated to, hey, right. You have a research paper. Debbie, you know, I'd get an assignment in school, this research paper, it's due 6 weeks from now. Well, I don't even look at the thing until like 2 days before. Mm-hmm. And how did you approach a research paper?
I started it instantly. Yeah. And so I was always done way ahead of time. And I think part of it is my personality says to me internally, let's go ahead and get this done, because you don't know what curves life might throw you. And you want to be prepared for that. So, in other words, if I have a paper due in a month and I wait till the last 2 days, well, what if those last 2 days I'm in a car accident and I'm not able to work on the paper, or something weird comes up? I just, in my desire to be prepared for all situations, I like to have things done ahead of time.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And
if you can do it, right?
Yeah. And it's something that we have to fight against, because those of us like me who are natural procrastinators, we have to do what the scripture says and discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. Hey, remember the words from the late Mr. Lewis Brown: if you ain't got discipline, you ain't got nothing. Discipline is what separates the men from the boys in athletics and in business and in life and in the Christian life. So we need discipline to grow. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm here with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about the discipline of discipleship. Don't go away. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Physical hurricanes, spiritual hurricanes, they can blow into your life out of nowhere. But even in the greatest storms of life, Christ is there to bring us comfort. I'm Charles Morris. Join me for the next Haven Today and a special program on Hurricane Ian, a program called Comfort in the Storm.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
What needs to be told to these black men is get a job, stop fathering children that you can't take care of, stop hanging out in the streets, and stop acting like the cops are your enemy anytime you interact with them, particularly when you're interacting with them in a situation where you know they've come expecting potential trouble because of the circumstances you've allowed yourself to be in. How about trying that?
Weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. There were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm joined by my wife, Debbie. We're talking about the discipline of discipleship. 1 Timothy chapter 4, have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit. It's not of no profit, but it's only of little profit because your body is going to wear away. But godliness is profitable for all things since it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So as we said in the first segment, Debbie is a very disciplined person just by temperament, just by nature. I am not a disciplined person. And so I find that extremely attractive about her, that she is strong where I'm weak. And then, Debbie, you were saying that it helps you to have
usually
somebody that is a procrastinating slug as a husband.
Well, that isn't quite the way I worded it. But I will say that, you know, we hear all the time that opposites attract, and nothing could be truer in our situation, Jeff, because we, when we first met, we were so completely opposite of each other, but together we bring balance to each other. And I just think back into what our lives were like when our kids were actually living under our roof, and how between the two of us, we just brought balance to the home. Because if it had been completely up to me, we would have not had much fun, because I'm so task oriented. If it would have been completely up to you, all we would have had was fun and nothing would have ever gotten accomplished. And so together as a unit, we had a balance of both the discipline and the fun. Mm-hmm. And so that, like, you were drawn to my discipline, I was drawn to how fun you were. Because I remember on our very first date, which I almost stood you up on because I thought you were so boring. That's a whole nother story. Mm-hmm. But that was the thing that attracted me the most, was that we had so much fun. You were just so fun. Mm-hmm. And so it's just cool how God works that out, how he brings opposites together to bring balance and to bring unity and oneness and to represent him, actually.
Right.
You know, and I think about that in terms of just our prayer life, our Bible study with the Lord. It's like there are times when we don't feel like doing that. We want to just not do that. Maybe we feel like, okay, I'm reading and, you know, nothing, I'm not getting anything out of this, or I'm studying the Bible and it, you know, I'm in Chronicles and I'm just hearing all these names. It means nothing to me whatsoever. But there is something to be said for disciplining yourself in godliness, just like the verse talked about, because over time, that discipline pays off. And you just think about dieting, lifting weights, any physical thing that takes discipline. Most of the time, for most people, you don't instantly see results. It's as you continue to do that, that's when you start to see the results. And by results, you're encouraged to even continue more in the discipline. And I think the same can be said of our prayer life, of our spending time with the Lord and studying his word. The more we do that, the more we start to get out of it, and the greater the hunger we have to continue to do that.
Right. So I talked yesterday to Dave Collins, who wrote a devotional book called Walking with God, and we said how having a quiet time, a daily quiet time, is so important. And the Lord Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All what things? All the things you worry about. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we clothe ourselves with? You have worries. I have worries. We have worries. Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. Seek me. Put me first in your life, and I'll provide all the things you need. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So here's the struggle that that many of us have. You wake up in the morning and you don't feel like praying. You don't feel like reading God's word. You don't feel like going through the discipline of your quiet time. And it's good to have, you know, like as we talked about Dave Collins' book, it's good to have like a devotional book that supplements your Bible reading and can spur you on to think about things that you may not think about otherwise. Some good reading like that, along with Bible study, along with prayer. But you have to discipline yourself, because if you don't feel like it, you have to remember this. Feelings don't govern my life. Feelings are what feelings are. I tell my feelings this is what we're doing. My feelings don't tell me this is what we're doing.
Well, I think too, particularly when it comes to reading the Bible and prayer, we can just so often go through the motions. And there are times that, sure, that does seem like a task, maybe that particular day, not a privilege, but a task that I'm going to be crossing off. But even on those days that it seems that way, God's word promises us that his word never returns void.
Right.
So even in those times when we are simply pushing through, being disciplined to push through, even if it does seem like a task, God promises us that he's going to be in that situation. He's going to be with us when we want desire to spend time with him, and that he's going to bless that. And that word that we read is not going to return void. We may not notice any difference in our lives instantly, but down the road, we are going to reap the benefit from that discipline.
Right. Well, think about in terms of forgiving people that hurt you. You may not feel like forgiving somebody that does something to really hurt you or hurt your loved ones. You don't do it based on feelings. You do it based on obedience. I always think about what Peter said to the Lord when he had been fishing all night and caught nothing, and Jesus was speaking, remember, from his boat, and then he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we worked all night and caught nothing. And this isn't, you fish at night. No, you don't fish during the day. And the fish aren't here. And they're not in the in the deep water. You know a lot more about preaching than I do and theology. But I know more about fishing. Now I'm just adding this in. It's in the white spaces. He said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. At your bidding, at your word, I will do it. So did he feel like doing it? No. He did it just out of obedience. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Hey, the Lord will bless you if you just walk by faith and obedience, not by feelings. And discipline trumps your feelings. Because discipline says, this is what I need to do, and this is what I'm gonna do. And if it's not comfortable, if it's not fun, reading the first few chapters of First Chronicles is hard.
Or let's talk about Leviticus.
Leviticus,
right?
is another really hard one. Hard book. But we do that and we just say, Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, this is your word. You have a reason why it's in the scripture, so speak to my heart. Obviously, there are other chapters in the Bible, other books of the Bible that are going to really, just jump out at you. You're doing a study on the book of James. James
right.
is a very practical truth.
Right.
And it's easy to, you know, read through there and you read one chapter and there's, 10 things that just jump off the page. Oh, I need to do this. I need to do that. God has a word for me there. But it's discipline that keeps us going and growing in the Lord. And hey, it takes discipline when you're going through what is known as the dark night of the soul, when God seems a million miles away and you don't feel him. I'm still going to come before him, and by faith, I'm going to pray and trust that he's hearing me. By faith, I'm trusting that he's working in my life. Hey, listen, for a preacher, when there are times where you don't feel God, all of us love to feel the Lord. The times that you don't feel him, you still trust him and say, Lord, I'm preaching your word. I want to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to make sure my heart is right before you. And God blesses that.
Well, I think one of the key elements in the success of all of that is to see the necessity of it. When we see the necessity of spending time in God's word, of spending time in prayer, of communicating and communing with him, when we see that as something that we have to have, it's just necessary. It's not frivolous. It's just a need that we have. It helps us in that area of discipline. And you think about just a small baby. When a small baby comes into the world, mom and dad are not wanting to get up at 2 a.m., at 4:30 a.m. Mom and dad aren't wanting to do that. They would much rather sleep, right? But they see the necessity of getting up and feeding that baby, because that baby has to have that food to live, to grow, to thrive. And so when we see that, when we see spending time with the Lord in his word, in his presence, when we see that as a necessity for us to thrive and to grow, it helps give us some of that motivation that we need to discipline ourselves in that area.
Right. And really, when you think about it, so got to. I get to spend time with God. It's not that I have to do this. Oh, I got to do this, but I don't really want to do it. I get to do this. Spend time with the King of the universe, that he would want to spend time with me. I share this story about our mutual friend Skip Oliver, who called me one day and said, hey, what are you doing Saturday? This was years ago. And I said, I don't know what's going on. He said, well, I'm going to Akeem Olajuwon's house. Would you like to go with me? And Akeem Olajuwon was my favorite player in the NBA. I was like, well, yeah, I'd like, wow, what a treat to get to go to Akeem's house. And I did. I went to his house, sat down in his living room. We talked for about 45 minutes about basketball and about the NBA championships and his life. And it was really cool. That wasn't something I had to do. That was something I got to do. And that was such a blessing. And I think we need to discipline our minds to say, what a blessing that we get to spend time with God. And I tell, you know, in my prayer time, I tell the Lord, Lord, I don't feel like preaching today. I don't feel like studying perhaps, but I get to do this. You have blessed me with the opportunity to do this, and it is a privilege. I want you to know I never want to take that for granted, because it is a privilege. Thank you for calling me in the ministry. Thank you for gifting me to do this. And just for a quiet time, man, think about people that would love to have God's word that don't. People that are incarcerated. You have Christians that are put in prison that are incarcerated. They don't have the Word of God. They would love to have it. I still remember my friend that went to China years ago, or it was, I know it was Russia, and they had to smuggle in Bibles. And he said the people in Russia, this was probably 30, 40 years ago, he said they treated the Scripture like it was pages of gold. And they would tear up Bibles and give people, you get a page, I get a page, we get a page, and then they would share it because they didn't have the Scripture, so they valued that so much. Hey, we need to see it like that. It's a tremendous value. That helps with the discipline.
Well, and I think, too, it enables us to get it deep down in us. And I remember after my father had had his stroke, and he had a massive stroke, was in intensive care for well over 90 days, and for a good 45 days out of that 90 days, we, from day to day, hour to hour, we didn't know if he was going to make it. And he didn't talk, he didn't speak at all for over 45 days. But one of the things, even after that stroke, even after the damage that he had in his brain, the thing that he could still do was he could still quote Scripture. That was so deep down in him mm-hmm. that even that stroke could not wipe that away. Now, he may not remember who someone was. He may not remember their name. But when it came to the Scripture, it was so buried deep down within him mm-hmm. that he had that reference, and he had the ability to pull that up and to recall that. And that's pretty powerful. That was a pretty powerful testimony for us that watched that and saw that in him.
Yeah, I still remember your dad after that. You know, he's in a coma for how long?
Oh, gosh.
Months?
Well, it wasn't. He was in a coma for at least a month, maybe more like 6 or 7 weeks. It was a long time.
Well, when he finally woke up, and he still had his faculties, you know, right. We didn't know what he was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking him, now Debbie's dad was a pastor for over 50 years. I said, Gerald, what is the Lord saying to you through all of this? And he just said two words. He said, trust me. Trust me. What is God saying? Trust me. You know, if you think about all of the Christian life, you can boil it down to those two words. What is the Christian life all about? It's about trusting God. Just trusting him. You trust him for salvation. You trust him for provision. You trust him for sanctification to help you grow. You trust him for everything in life because he is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Well, we are coming up on a break, but we want to open up the phone lines. And when we come back from the break, we want to take your calls as we talk about this thing called discipline. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And let me just say something that's very interesting about this word discipline. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. That word discipline, gymnazo in the Greek, literally means to exercise naked.
That's a terrifying thought.
Yes, it is. To strip down. But I think it's not so much as in naked as it is stripped. So when you go to the gym, you know, you're not wearing your suit. You have stripped into clothes that are you know, amenable for that that task of sweating and working out. So when we come before the Lord, we exercise naked, so to speak. No pretense. We're just open before the Lord. We're ready to hear from him. Our hearts are open to hear from him. And God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And we come humbly before him. And we don't come hiding things. We've stripped all those things away. And we say, Lord, here I am. Here are my struggles. Here are my difficulties. And God, I need your help. And you read his word and you pray, and the Lord strengthens us because my God, in his loving kindness, will meet me. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back taking your calls.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
You know, Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey are history, but did you know God used AFA Action leadership to help bring that about? On October 13th at 6 p.m. Central, you can hear that story during a special episode of AFA at Home as host Walker Wildman talks to some of the team members about their roles.
I helped draft that legislation, put together the coalition, and by the grace of God, the Mississippi legislature passed that, and we lost at the federal district court level. We lost at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. But then that's where the story really gets interesting and you really see God taking control of affairs.
They've said that abortion is protected in the federal Constitution. The problem is the word abortion isn't in the federal Constitution.
Don't miss this special episode of AFA at Home with Walker Wildman, premiering October 13th at 6 p.m. Central on AFA's streaming platform. Find out more and create a free account to watch when you visit afa.net.
Hey, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. Do you know for the last 2 years, Southwest Louisiana has faced multiple storms, including Hurricanes Laura, Delta, and Zeta? 8 Days of Hope sent our rapid response teams to help in these areas after Hurricane Laura hit Lake Charles and again after the flooding in 2021. Well, today we're excited to announce that our 18th rebuilding trip will take place in Lake Charles from December 3rd through December 10th. Thousands of volunteers will gather from around the country to love and serve this community by helping them repair their homes that were affected by these disasters. We're going to focus on roofing and drywall, painting, electrical work, flooring, and so much more. We can't wait to see what God is going to do. So there's a couple ways you can help with this mission. First, pray. Pray that God will speak through our actions to each family and make himself known. Second, consider volunteering. It's free, and we provide the food and the lodging. Hey, go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, read the FAQs, and you can volunteer right there. Again, that's 8daysofhope.com.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Debbie and I are talking about the subject of discipline. Discipline in discipleship. Discipline yourselves for the purpose of discipleship. The scripture says for the purpose of godliness. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have Don from Hattiesburg, Mississippi on the line. Don, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, Brother Shreve and Mrs. Shreve.
Good morning.
It's good to be on the side of the living again.
Well, good.
So we can make a difference in somebody's life. Yeah. You know, I was listening. I was convicted about discipline. And you got to excuse me. I'm kind of breathing hard. I'm working in the yard. But
no problem.
It makes so much sense. I'm sort of like you, Brother Shreve. Sometimes I say, hey, I get it in a second. It's like hitting that snooze button. But I am becoming, right. But I'm becoming more and more disciplined than what I had been. I had drifted way out into the waters. So God is reeling me back in, piece by piece by piece, step by step, stroke by stroke, to get and become more disciplined. And as you said, Brother Shree, the Word of God said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to us. So being disciplined, I believe, is going to lead not just myself, but many others who struggle in that particular area of discipline to get back discipline. Because the way of the world now, we need believers, true believers, to be more disciplined and more poignant about the direction that God's word need to go in. So I just wanted to thank you and your wife this morning. And she's on top of things, boy. She's one of those women, man, that, hey, look, this is the numbers. This is how we're going to do it. And this is the way it gets done.
Yes, she is.
I just wanted to thank you guys. I started listening to you some time ago, and I can't stop.
Oh,
every time I ride my bicycle on the trail, I set my radio to you guys. I'd be waiting on 8 o'clock here. Now, I'm serious, dude. I do, man, because that is my good point for that hour. I look forward to it. So I just want to thank you guys. You guys keep doing what you're doing. Keep lifting people up. Keep putting God first. You know, it's one pastor says, when you put God first, he'll take you places you ain't never been, let you see things you never saw, and let you have what you have never had. Yes. So I just wanted to thank you guys.
Amen. Thank you, Don. What a blessing. I appreciate that.
Well, I wanted to just add one thing for other people who might be listening, and that is to kind of hone in on one of the things Don said, and that is we can all improve in the area of discipline. We can all grow in that area. Baby steps. You know, you just start small and focus on one or two things, but God will grow you in that area when that is the desire of your heart.
Amen. Well, we have Monty on the line from Culpeper, Virginia. Monty, thank you for holding, and go ahead. You're on Real Truth for Today.
Jeff, I know you and Deborah don't need a lot of edification, but just like the previous caller was saying, you guys are such a wonderful inspiration, and you edify and lift and encourage people. I, Jeff, have wanted to be a motivational speaker almost all my life, and meaning I've always been in athletics and sports, but when I got into college, I kind of changed my major from sports to recreation. You and your wife are perfect examples of opposite attracts. They say that, meaning that Jeff's the fun person, the wife's the directed and focused person, and I've coached over 40 soccer teams, and I always said, kids, in 40 minutes, I can teach you more than the coach that you could have been on his team that takes 2 or 3 hours to do something that bores you. And Jeff, you and Deborah know that everything about motivational, just like Tony Robbins and all these wonderful motivational speakers, I don't know how close Tony is to Christ, but we do know that when you discipline yourself, Michael Jordan, you name your favorite player, Pistol Pete Maravich was my favorite player, and he disciplined himself 8 hours a day of a basketball. Football, Tim Tebow. But anyway, without going on and on, I wrote down the word procrastination. I said, Monty, the way you always attack problems is you said, let's do it like mind mapping. Put the problem in the middle and the little spokes like rays from God or rays from the sun, and they are the solutions to the problem. And you guys know, y'all are outstanding at what you do. We love you. We thank you. And I would always love to come either Texas or Tupelo, Mississippi, and be part of y'all's life.
Thank you, Monty. What a blessing. I appreciate that. Very encouraging and a great word. Thank you for listening. We have Essence from Texas. Essence, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, family. I have a formed discipline from abuse when I was growing up, and I always felt dirty, but God changed that into upkeep of my home, and I feel good when everything is sparkling. So God changed bad into a blessing for my marriage. And my husband, he's out in space floating when he has to help cleaning. So he always asks me, what can I do to help? And I give him a few chores, and he's good with that. But I grew up in a generation where for women, for cleaning their home, it was a reflection of them. So you have a great day. I got to get back to work. Love you.
Thanks, Essence. I appreciate that. Debbie, what do you think about that? Your home's a reflection of you.
I do think that's true. And I think there's something to be said about your home being in order, because that helps you order the rest of your life. Uh-huh. When your home is in absolute chaos, there's dirty dishes everywhere, there's dirty laundry all over the floor, it's just a disaster, that transfers over into the rest of your life. Right. And so it goes back to what I had said just a minute ago, baby steps. Mm-hmm. You start in something that you can accomplish, and you, by keeping your home in order, it is very much a motivation to discipline yourself in other areas of your life. It is very hard to be very disciplined somewhere else and your home be absolutely chaotic, because that's your home base. Mm-hmm. That's where you rest. That's where you refresh. That's where you regroup. And if that area is in chaos, you cannot do those things successfully. You can't refresh. You can't regroup. You can't do that. And so as a result, that infiltrates the other areas of your life to cause those areas to be chaotic as well. And it particularly can affect your emotional health. Mm-hmm. There's something about your home being stable, peaceful, clean, in order that has such a positive effect on your mental health as well.
Yeah, very important. And I will say this, men don't like to go home at the end of the day if home is World War III, if home is like, just a war zone. If there's fighting, if it's a mess, if the kids are all just running all over the place, it's just like, I wish I'd stayed at the office.
Do you remember when our kids were little, I always kept the house really clean, but I would have those times when I would let my guard down. And I would even tell you, hey, today I'm just letting my guard down. I'm not doing anything today. I'm not straightening anything. I'm not doing any laundry. I am just going to do nothing and have fun with the girls today. We're just going to play. I'm just going to do any kind of task today. And it would be great. And sometimes I would do that even for more than one day. And then you would finally say to me, hey, when do we think we're going to let that guard back up? You know, because you just didn't like coming home to all of that. No. But it was a fun time that the girls and I had. And for me, that was a huge step to be able to actually let those things go and just focus on the girls and just having fun and playing and doing whatever. But it does transfer over. Chaos in your home and disorder in your home transfers over into other areas of your life.
Yes. Well, we have Paige on the line from Texas. Paige, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
My question is for Miss Debbie. So I'm just almost 2 years in with my walk with God, and I also have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, so I'm a stay-at-home mom. And I was wondering your advice on how to juggle being a mom and being a wife and finding your time with God and what talent He's given you, how to disperse yourself in all those areas. I'm not a disciplined person. I don't have to-do lists, so that's probably a good start.
Well, it is.
How would you say? Go ahead.
It's very difficult to do because you are juggling so many different balls. There's so many different balls in the air. And so I, for me personally, one of the smartest things that I did when I was a young mom, like you are now, is that I got involved in a Bible study at my church. They provided childcare for me, and we met once a week. And I wish I could say that I was so driven to be in the Word of God that that's why I went to the Bible study. But honestly, that wasn't it. I wanted some time away from my kids, and I wanted to be with other women that I could converse with and have adult conversations with. And what that ended up doing for me was that it disciplined me, A, to get up, get my kids ready and to go, but it also disciplined me in terms of how to study the Bible, how important the study of God's Word was. Now, when my kids were really little, did I get up every morning early and have a quiet time? No, there were just some mornings when that just wasn't feasible for that to happen. But sometime throughout the day, I would try and take at least 5 minutes to read the Bible, to spend a little bit of time with the Lord. And, you know, we can converse with the Lord all day long, whether we are specifically in prayer or not, but we can just be aware of Him all day long if we put our minds to it. And so That first step, though, for me, honestly, was getting involved in that Bible study at my church. And I did that when we just had the one daughter, and I have continued that discipline on for the rest of my life. So it really was kind of a foundational thing that I did way back in the day.
Yeah, and I would say this too, Paige. Don't beat yourself up over it. You know, if you're not right. a very disciplined person, it's like, okay, well, God made you. Now, we all have strengths and weaknesses, so we don't just say, well, I'm just weak in that area, so I'm not going to do anything about it. We want to do something about it. But I think you need to, as Debbie was saying, baby steps. So, mm-hmm. hey, if I'm more disciplined, you know, today than I was last month, even in just small increments, it's like, that's a victory. That's a win. I want to keep moving in the right direction there. And I would say this, as far as I think young moms, they have a difficult time with a quiet time because they don't have a lot of alone time. And so I would just say, with the Bible apps we have now that we can put on our phones that can read the scripture to us, take advantage of that. So if you're feeding your child, or if you're getting ready, or, you know, brushing your teeth and getting ready, you can just listen to, you know, I'm going to put it on Psalms. I'm just going to let them read Psalms to me. It's not the same as just being quiet, you know, with your Bible in your lap, but it still gets the Word of God. You're hearing it. It's getting down into your heart, and you're taking advantage. You're redeeming the time, and playing Christian music, having songs that's good for your children too, songs of worship in your home that just kind of speak to your spirit. Even if you're not picking up all the words, it's ministering to you.
Yeah, that's very important to do. I would agree with that.
So I appreciate that. Anything else we can maybe answer or help you with?
No, sir. Thank you so much. That sounds like a great start to get going, to put myself in all the areas I need to be in at once.
Well, very good. Well, thank you for listening to the program, and thank you for calling in. So we've been talking about the discipline of discipleship. And discipline is key. If you're going to get ahead in any arena of life, you can't just kind of wander in there. You have to be focused. You know, the easiest way for us to kind of look at this is with bodily discipline. Now, the Bible says bodily discipline is only of little profit because it's over. You know, eventually your body's going to wear out, but it's still profitable. It's good to be fit. It's good to be careful what you eat. If you eat anything you want and you never exercise, hey, guess what? Unless you just have a phenomenal metabolism, you're going to gain weight, and you're not going to feel good because you're just going to be sluggish and lethargic. And Debbie, you
Well, I do think that you just kind of touched on this just a second ago, but there is an intentionality that is present when you're disciplined. So discipline doesn't just happen. There's intentionality to it, and accompanying that intentionality almost always is sacrifice in some form or fashion.
Right.
So to accomplish what I'm intentionally seeking to accomplish, I'm having to sacrifice some other things. And when I'm dieting, my intentionality is to be focused on losing weight. Okay, well, I'm going to have to sacrifice sugars, fats, and I'm going to have to intentionally make sure I eat correctly and that I exercise. And the same thing is true in our spiritual life. We have to be very intentional about that and give up some of our other lazy tendencies and sacrifice those so that we can be the people God wants us to be.
And let me just say something that will be helpful too. When you're spending time with the Lord, try and get your electronics away from you, because those are such distractions. When we hear something ding, oh, we got a text message, we got an email or whatever, get that away so you can have unhurried quality time with the Lord, just you and Him. And you're pouring out your heart to Him and hearing from Him. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. I look forward to being with you tomorrow. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things He has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.